There are billions of planets that have developed life at the level of bacteria, but only a fraction of these life forms ever made it across the gap to something like the eukaryotic cell. And of these, a yet smaller fraction managed to cross the later Rubicon to consciousness. If both of these are one-off events, we are not dealing with a ubiquitous and all-pervading process, as we are with ordinary, run-of-the-mill biological adaptation. The anthropic principle states that, since we are alive, eukaryotic, and conscious, our planet has to be one of the intensely rare planets that has bridged all three gaps.
Natural selection works because it is a cumulative one-way street to improvement. It needs some luck to get started, and the billions of planets anthropic principle grants it that luck. Maybe a few later gaps in the evolutionary story also need major infusions of luck with anthropic justification. But whatever else we may say, design certainly does not work as an explanation for life, because design is ultimately not cumulative, and it therefore raises bigger questions than it answers. It takes us straight back along the ultimate 747 infinite regress. We live on a planet that is friendly to our kind of life, and we have seen two reasons why this is so. One is that life has evolved to flourish in the conditions provided by the planet. This is because of natural selection. The other reason is the anthropic one. There are billions of planets in the universe, and however small the minority of evolution-friendly planets may be, our planet necessarily has to be one of them. Now it is time to take the anthropic principle back to an earlier stage, from biology back to cosmology. The anthropic principle, cosmological version. We live not only on a friendly planet, but also in a friendly universe. It follows from the fact of our existence that the laws of physics must be friendly enough to allow life to arise. It is no accident that when we look at the night sky, we see stars, for stars are a necessary prerequisite for the existence of most of the chemical elements, and without chemistry, there could be no life. Physicists have calculated that if the laws and constants of physics had been even slightly different, the universe would have developed in such a way that life would have been impossible. Different physicists put it in different ways, but the conclusion is always much the same. Martin Rees, in Just Six Numbers, lists six fundamental constants which are believed to hold all around the universe. Each of these six numbers is finely tuned, in the sense that if it were slightly different, the universe would be comprehensively different and presumably unfriendly to life.
We must say presumably, partly because we don't know how different alien forms of life might be, and partly because it is possible that we make a mistake if we consider only the consequences of changing one constant at a time. Could there be other combinations of values of the six numbers which would turn out to be friendly to life in ways that we do not discover if we consider them only one at a time? Nevertheless, we shall proceed for simplicity as though we really do have a big problem to explain in the apparent fine-tuning of the fundamental constants.
An example of Rees's six numbers is the magnitude of the so-called strong force, the force that binds the components of an atomic nucleus, the nuclear force that has to be overcome when one splits the atom. It is measured as E, the proportion of the mass of a hydrogen nucleus that is converted to energy when hydrogen fuses to form helium. The value of this number in our universe is 0.007, and it looks as though it had to be very close to this value in order for any chemistry, which is a prerequisite for life, to exist. Chemistry as we know it consists of the combination and recombination of the 90 or so naturally occurring elements of the periodic table.